discuss a few things about Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay. Let's start with the similar vart, which many commentators say in different ways. Lech lecha me'artzcha mi'moladcha mi'beisavicha l'aris ha'shareka. The first mitzvah, the first commandment, the first communication Hashem has with Avraham is lech lecha. He should do three things. He should leave. There are three things that he's instructed to do. Lech lecha me'artzcha, from your homeland, your country. Umi'moladcha, from your the place that you have been brought up, your hometown, from your father's home. The question, the obvious question, is that it should every these three instructions should have been in reverse. When a person is leaving his home, the first thing, the first place you step out of is your home. You leave your Beis Avicha, and then you leave your neighborhood, and then you get on a plane and you leave your country. So the order appears to be reverse. The pasuk should tell us lech lecha mi beis avicha u mi moladticha u mei artzecha. But that's not what it says. And this obviously is a very important pasuk, because this is the first communication that we find in the Torah that Hashem has with Avraham. And there's a whole question of is this really the first communication? Maybe the Bris Hashanah took place first. There are many different opinions as to define, to figure out the exact sequence of events. Ein muktam u'me'uchar ba'Torah. Yet, l'chol hadeos, we cannot ignore the fact that this is what is presented first. It's presented as the first instruction. So what does the mean? The meaning is, okay, this answer is given by many commentators in many, many different ways, but it's the same idea, is that this was not an instruction to physically remove yourself, himself, from his environment. The first instruction was a spiritual instruction. When a person leaves his country, he travels to the other side of the world. Who is he? He's a child of, no matter where he finds him, a person is a native to America, and he finds himself in Hong Kong, he finds himself in China, he finds himself in Australia. Who are you? You're lost. I belong home in Flatbush. I belong home in Yerushalayim. You person is brought up. This is my father. This is my mother. These are my siblings. This is my family. This is my community. This is my neighborhood. This is my country. My passport still has, I still have a U.S. passport. I still have an Israeli passport. This is not my location. If a person wants to spiritually break away from his history, from where he comes from, the order is you have to go in stages. The first stage is first revoke your citizenship. First thing you have to do is lech lecha me'artzecha. I want you to become Avram. I'm going to make you into the Am HaNivcha. We have to go in stages. The easiest thing to do is first revoke your citizenship. No longer should you be part of the land of Aram Naharaim. No longer are you part of Ur Kasdim. Don't identify with them and their ideology. You have to work on that. That takes a lot of time. Then you're going to go to the next stage. The next stage is your community. It could very well be that you're no longer a citizen of the country, but you still maintain ties, you still have a relationship with the people in your community. And then, after you achieve that step, the final step is, I want you even to cut your ties with your family. I don't want you to have anything to do with Terach, and this relative, and that relative, Mibei Savicha, because they are all Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And you are selected to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, Umi Beis Avicha. The Musar Haskel is that the most important, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he speaks to man, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only giving man spiritual messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in every event that happens in life where a person finds himself, where he is required to act, to do things, to perform, and you're guided, you find yourself in a different environment, a different situation. Look at Avram. Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Avram, just tell him what to do, where to go, go here, go there, and then you'll figure out what to do. Every single event in his life was a spiritual message, and that is clearly defined in the order of Me'artzecha u'mimoyladecha u'mibeis avicha. Okay, let's go. Yeah,
it's a physical act. He has to take his son up to
the Akedah. That's the next parasha. That's the last. That's the last Nisayan.
You know,
but that was certainly spiritual. That was certainly a spiritual thing. Is to offer your child. What does that mean for him? How is that going to affect him?
But it's based on a physical act.
Well, everything is based on the physical act. But you have to look beyond the physical act. You have to look to the message, the spiritual message that is hidden in the physical act.
That's true of everything we do.
Yes, that's exactly the point. The point is. That's exactly the point. What? No, this is not. This everyone says. This is everyone's. I saw a Baruch Sirotsky, and he says, "Come out, meet the way." I said, "But I still know the place." Everyone, this is just a general theme to open up the parasha. It's a beautiful yisod, and it's a basic yisod in the parasha Lecha. When something happens, don't focus on the physical, and then look later to figure out, in retrospect, what was the spiritual message. There's a direct spiritual message immediately in everything that happens in this world. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here Hashem gives multiple brachas. There are seven brachas. I don't know why there are seven brachas. In fact, I saw in the Sefer that said that's why we have seven brachas by a wedding. By a wedding, why do we have seven blessings under the chuppah? Why do we have seven blessings under seven brachas? It's based upon this pasuk. In this pasuk, there are seven blessings. Hashem says, "Lech lech." Lech lech. Rashi says, "Lech lecha." That's number one. Lahanoscha l'tevascha. Kirashi, go through all the brachas to our grant. There are a total over here of lecha, me'artzcha, mimoylatecha, umibeisavicha. That's already four. Ve'escha legoy godol, va'avo. I don't know, I'm sorry, the other way around. I'm sorry. Pasuk beis. Ve'escha legoy godol, va'avo rechecha, va'gadlo shemecha, ve'ye baracha. That's four. Va'avorcha mivorechecha. That's five. Umikalelcha or that's six. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos v'adama is seven. There are seven blessings here. Mice of a similar bundim. Every time we start out on something new, there are seven blessings. It's interesting that when Yaakov Yitzchak gave the brachas to Yaakov, he gave him 10 blessings. V'yitin l'cha v'lokim yital ha'shvayim mishmeretz have 10. So I don't know the significance why there were 10. Here there are seven, but suddenly there are seven. There are seven blessings. Now among these seven blessings, Rashi tells us something very nice. Vaye baracha. Let's go back to the beginning. The beginning here is Vehaye baracha. Dover acher. Meaning Rashi. Rashi says Veschel legoy gadol, make you a great nation. Zeh sheoimim elokei Avraham. Okay, that's when it says a goy gadol. Va'avorechecha zeh she'omrim Elokei Yitzchak va'gadlo shemecha zeh she'omrim Elokei Yaakov. Shmoneh Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Yachol, I would think, yihyu choismim kulan. I would think that we should be choisim with all of them. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogein, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. No tamoloima ve'ye birocha. We only conclude with you, we will not conclude with V'loi Bohem. Okay, so this is a famous Rashi, that's why we conclude Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avram, and there is this says we always come back to Avram Avinu. I once discussed the idea, I'm going to tell you before, but I want to just add one more point. When it says in Rashi that I would think that we will chasim b'kulon, now that simply means that we ignore Yitzchak and Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Three. Baruch Ato Hashem, again Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are ignored. But the truth is, we never really ignore. When you do the chasima, we don't ignore the other two. What we do is we work backwards. In other words, look at the Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei begins, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. The end of the bracha is, how do we conclude the bracha? Melech oizer umoshia umogein. Baruch Ato Hashem, mogein Avraham. Why are there three expressions? Ozer, umoshia, umogein. Among the three of us, which one? What is ozer? O means Hashem helps those who help themselves. among the three, which one of the avos helped himself the most? Yaakov. Yaakov worked for 22 years. Yaakov worked to get the brachos. Yaakov was a person who helped himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu assisted him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Oz, that is Yaakov. Who among the three is the Umoshia, the Savior? Yitzchak. Yitzchak was about to be slaughtered. Yitzchak was on the Akedah, and the Malach Hashem appears out of nowhere and says, Moshiach means, I'm about to be slaughtered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. The essence of Yitzchak was an oil of tmim. We don't find much action. Yitzchak didn't seek his own shidduch. Yitzchak just sat home, and the shidduch was presented, was brought to him. Yitzchak was the person of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshiach intervened on his behalf. Avraham was the Mogain. Avraham Anochi, you don't need him to elaborate because it says in the sixth parasha, Al Tir Avraham Anochi Mogain Loch, Sechorcha Harbe Ma'od. Mogain is Avraham. Baruch Atah Hashem Mogain Avraham. So when the Shemone Esrei concludes, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umogain, what is the order? What is the Chasima? The Chasima is Melech Ozer is Yaakov, Melech Ozer Moshiach is Yitzchak, Umogain is Avraham. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogain Avraham. So look what we do. When we start off the Shemone Esrei, we go from down, from top down. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. When we come to the end of the bracha, we go from down up. Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham, and so B'chach Chaysim. What is B'chach Chaysim? B'chach Chaysim doesn't mean that we ignore the other two. It means that we reverse the order. Where else do we find the idea of reversing the order? In the Teichacha. In the Teichacha, V'gaf, at the end of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, even though you will be the Eretz Oyveihem, I will remember the bris of Yaakov and Yitzchak, V'yafres brisi Avraham Eskar V'haretz Eskar. So the very end of the Torah, we also go in reverse order, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. And Rashi there says, Kedai hu zuchus, that the zuchus of Yaakov is Kedai to save you. And if that's not enough, then we'll go back up to the zuchus of Yitzchak. And if that's not enough, we'll go back to the zuchus of Avraham. Okay, that's second example. Now here's the reason why I wanted to give another example. I came across this yesterday. Is let's go to Bris Milah, the end of this week's parasha. B'chochos, the end of this parasha, we learn about a Bris Milah. Bris Milah, what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos V'mitzvanu Al Hamila. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidash V'mibeten V'choik B'serasa. I'm sorry, what am I saying? I'm saying the Baruch words. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos V'mitzvanu Leachnisoi B'vrisoi Shel Avraham Avinu. Avraham. We mention Avraham. And then what happens? What's the minuk? What does it say in the Gemara too? Kishem shnichnas lebris. Can you connect le Torah u lechub lemasim tovim? Who is Torah? Who is the one that is associated with Torah from the three of us? Yaakov intin, emes li Yaakov. Who is the one that we associate shiduchim, chuppah with? When you want to study the parasha of shiduchim, which parasha do you go to? You go to Chayisara. What's Chayisara? Yitzchak and Rivka. Okay, we say even in the Shemone Esrei, we focus on Yitzchak and Rivka in the order of the tzaddikim, chassidim, the yesharim, and right before Hamelech, Yoyeshev, Al Kisei, Ram and Issa, you have over here Yitzchak and Rivka, Shidduchim. We're always focusing for Shidduchim for the purpose of Yitzchak and Rivka. They are the model of Shidduchim, Chuppah. Who do we focus on? Umaisim Toivim, Chesed, Am Ravinu. So look what we do. We over here, we start off with Beris Milah, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvayisa V'tzivanu Al-Hachnisai B'vrisai Shel Avraham Avinu. And then we enter into a tefillah, and the tefillah is Kishem Shnichnas Lebris Ken Yikones L'Torah U'L'Chuppa U'L'Masim Tovim B'Chochoismin. B'Chochoismin does not mean that you ignore the other two. B'Chochoismin means, in the greater picture of things, you work your way backwards. You work your way up. And what's the longest? What are we working about? Because what's the difference between working down and going up? The difference is when you give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you give Him praise, you start with the beginning, the roots. The roots is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You start from the very beginning. When you are Mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you attempt to invoke the Zechusim, then you work from bottom up. When you begin Shemone Esrei, it's Birchas HaShevach. Baruch Atah Hashem, the first three brachos are primarily blessings of praise. praise. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. When Yechosem, we are allowed to add a tefila into the chasima. And the tefila is, we allude to tefila, Melech Ozer, help us, Umoshia, Umogain, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ogain Avraham, when we mispalel, we work our way back. We first focus on Yaakov, what's closer, we're more related to, and we work our way back. By the Toichacha, when we find ourselves in a difficult situation in Golis, and we are mispalel, we're trying to find Zuchusim in order to come out of the Golis, what do? We work our way backwards, and we invoke the schus of Yaakov, then Yitzchak, and then Avram. And likewise, by a bris milah, it's the same thing. What are we doing? We're being mispalel. Kishem shenichnas lebris, we're being mevakesh, kain yikones l'toira ulchub l'masim tovim. It's a tefillah. Anytime you're davening, the tefillah always is in the reverse. It's Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avraham, bechachosmim, and that is the bracha. The heye bracha gives us deeper insight. Is the bracha is that when Klal Yisrael will be mispalel, when they'll pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to be mispalel and use you as the chasima of their bakoshes. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have over here in the beginning of the parsha two tricky psukim. If you are a Baal Korei, and you don't even need to be a professional Baal Korei, even if you're a Monday, Thursday Baal Korei, came across in the store, I never saw this, a tikkun just for Monday and Thursday. Right? You have a tikkun, you think, what do I think? You have all the parishes. No, it's a small tikkun just for the Monday, Thursdays. So, maybe, I imagine, I didn't look. I would imagine. What? What? A tikkun? No, but the tikkun, you know, on both sides to practice during Chazaras Hashatz, just a Monday, Thursday. So even if you're just a Monday, Thursday Baal Korei, you have here something very tricky. We have here Avraham Avinu, he builds in the first Aliyah two mizbechos, a double mizbech. Hashem appears to Avram in Pasuk Zayin, Perikid Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayero Hashem el Avram, Vayoymer. Good news, Avram. Lezaracha etein es aretz hazus. I'm going to give you this land. I'm giving you the besur that you will receive Eretz Yisrael. Vayiven shom mizbeach. He builds a mizbeach. He builds an altar. LaHashem hanire elav. Now, if you look at the pasuk, you'll notice that each word gets its own ta'am, gets its own musical note. Vayiven a mapach shom vir location. The noun, the verb. A mizbeach, he built a mizbeach there, LaHashem HaNirei Lav. Okay, now Avram continues to travel. Vayatek Misham HaHorah. Avram begins to travel. Mikedem Leveisel, to the east of Beisel. Vayet Oholo, he pitches his tent, her tent, his tent, two tents. We all know the Rashi. Beisel Miyom Mikedem. And now Rashi tells us it was revealed to him that when Klal Yisrael would enter into Eretz Yisrael, Ochon would take from the spoils of Yericho, and it would be a very great what? Of, you know, because he took from the spoils of Yericho, the casualties of Ai. When they came to Ai, because Ochon took from the spoils of Yericho, that's why they suffered a defeat at Ai. So they even shom is beach. So Avram saw that chas v'shalom, the entire Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out. It's a pillar, it's a wonder how this could be. After everything, after the entire history, the whole Klal Yisrael will be destroyed, but that's what it says.
With the war in Azara, you ended the whole world against Israel.
Sakana. So what happens? He's mispalel in advance. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he's mispalel. Vayiven shem mizbech. He built mizbech. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Now, what's very tricky is if you're a Baal Korei, you have to be very careful that even though these words are the same words as only one pasuk above, you've only gone one. It's the next pasuk. It's the next pasuk. Two pasukim. It's pasuk ches and pasuk ches. Pasuk zayin and pasuk ches. The two pasukim juxtaposed here. Vayiven shom mizbeach laHashem. There is no ta'am. There is no musical note on the word vayiven. Vayiven is tofel. It's part of the word shom. Same words. Vayiven shom mizbeach laHashem. But here it's vayiven shom, comma, mizbeach laHashem. Whereas in pasuk zayin it's vayiven. He built shom there. Mizbeach, a mizbeach laHashem. So the question is why? Why is there a difference between these two psukim? Why in pasuk Zayin is the word vayiven given? It's given prominence. he built something, whereas in Pasuk Ches, the word Vayiven, it's almost as if the Pasuk has to apologize. Don't even focus on the word Vayiven, it's not important. So the answer is very simple. In the first Pasuk, Avraham, he built the Mizbeach as Hakaras HaToif. Hashem told him good news. Rashi makes it very clear. Good news, you can have children. Avram didn't have any children at this point in time. You're going to have children. Zaracha. Hashem told Avram, you're going to have an Eretz Yisrael. Good news. Avram, out of Hakaras HaToiv, he built a Mizbeach. When you are a recipient of Bracha, and you want to be Makar Tov, you're a student of a yeshiva, and 30 years later, 40 years later, you make it big, and you want to reciprocate, and you want to go give back to those that helped you, you give big. You don't just give it a donation of $18. You name a building. Right? You dedicate a building. You build. You build. But one thing you don't do, you don't tell them, listen, I'm giving the money. This is what I want. The way you're going, the way you're gonna daven, I'm gonna tell you what the curriculum is. I'm giving you $1 billion, so we're gonna build a whole institution, and we're only going to accept these students, and this is what you're going to teach, and this is what you're not going to teach, and this is going to be the new hashkafah. So what they'll tell you? They'll tell you, you know, take your money and go. Don't tell us what to do. You want to give, if you want to give out of Hakaras HaTov, the ikar is Vayiven. You build. You build. The purpose over here was not Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. It was just Hashem appeared out of Hakaras HaTov. He gave back, he built. The next pasuk is describing an Eis Tzara. There was an Eis Tzara. There was a time of difficulty when Achan has sinned. He saw Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh Achan would sin and he needed to be mispalel. So he built a Mizbeach. He built a Mizbeach Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. It's not important what you build. What's important is that there should be Shom in this location. There should be a place to daven. The building, the chitzonios, the gashmis, is not important. What's important is shom mizbeach laHashem vayikra b'shem Hashem. The focus is not on the structure. The focus is on the place. The place requires an institution where Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Don't focus on the physical. Focus on the spiritual. Vayiven is a word which captures the physicality. Beautiful building with marble, with chandeliers. That's not what's important when it's an Eis Tzara. When there's a reason, when an institution has to be built in order that children learn Torah, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, don't focus on the Vayiven. Focus on the Mizbeach, the spiritual essence of the institution. That's what counts, not the Gashmis. When it comes to Hakaras HaToiv, it's not your place to dictate the Mizbeach. That's for someone else. Your job is just to give the money. They need your money. Give them the money. You be an instrument in being the Vayiven, and let the people in charge, let them handle the Mizbeach LaHashem HaNira Elof. But when you're the one that's not, when the purpose is because you is an Eis Tzara, it's not out of Hakaras HaTov, the agenda is different, then the focus is not in the Vayiven. And just to bring out that point,
It's on the Sham.
The word Vayiven is not important. That's not what it's about. It's about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is the spiritual matter of the institution. That's what Avraham focused on when he reached this location, because there was an Eis Tzara. But when Avraham was building a Mizbeach in the previous passage, not because there was an Eis Tzara, it was just a matter of giving back Av Hakaras HaTov. Let other people take care of the Mizbeach. I'm going to be the one that's going to provide the funds. I'm being makir tov. That's not the agenda here. The agenda here is Hashem gave me good news. I want to be makir tov to the Rebbeinu Shlalom. There are other spiritual people. There was chom. There was shame. There were other people that were involved in spirituality. We have to assume. So Avraham focused on providing the funds out of hakaras hatov and didn't give people orders on how they should on the spiritual. Let's leave that to someone else. A small point, but I think there's a very powerful message in how the person's attitude and when he builds things for others. What is your agenda? And just to make these dots together, you come back to the end of the parasha when Avraham returned, Vayal Avraham Mimshram, after the episode when Avraham was in the Mimshram and he came across. He came with Paro, and Sarah was abducted, and she was returned to him, and now he returned. Now, when he comes back, there were two mizbechos to come back to. Here, he built two mizbechos. He built the fancy one, Vayiven, with the marble and the pillars and the chandeliers, and all the good gashmis, and then he built the one, the nondescript. Nondescript. The word Vayiven doesn't even exist. It was a mizbeach. It was a mokum ruchni. It was simple, a place, a spiritual place. When Avraham returned, and he came back a rich man. It says here, Vayal Avraham in Mitzrayim. It's after he was given all the gifts from Paro. Who? And Yud Gimel, the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel. Who? The Ishtoi v'chol asher lo, v'loit imo hanegba, v'Avram kaved ma'ot, b'mikneh b'kesef, was a multi-billionaire. Now, when a multi-billionaire comes to town, where does he stay? In the Waldorf? Or does he stay in the nondescript basement?
Motel 6.
Under a motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. Where does the multi-billionaire stay? He stays in the Waldorf. Avraham built two mizbechas. There was a vayiven with a tam, with trop, cantillation. It was gorgeous. This is serious mizbeach. And then there was the other mizbeach that was nondescript, right? It needed a paint job, the other mizbeach. Even Sham, he built it, he was there. It was there because it served the function of being mispalel, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, to be mispalel for his children. Now, time has passed, he went to Mitzrayim, he struck it rich, became a billionaire, he's coming back. Kaved me'oid, b'mikneh, b'kesef, v'zof. Where would you go? Would you go to the nice mizbeach? Or would you go to the mizbeach that's in the state of disrepair? You go to the nice mizbeach. That's not what it says. It's a very, very powerful point. It says here, Vayal Avram, Mimshram Uvi Yishtov, Vachosha, Lo, Vilodi Mo Negev, Avram Chavei Mo, Bikmi Mimshram Kesef, Vayelch Lamassav, Minegev, Vyad Beisel, Ad Hamakom. He went to the Mokom, Asho Ho Yisham, Oholo Batchila, Bein Beisel, Bein Ho'ai. So that was the second place where he built the second Mizbeach, the nondescript, El Mikoim HaMizbeach, Asher Osa Shom, Barishayna, Vayikra Shom Avram B'Shem Hashem. It says here the word Shom three times. It says here the word Shom three times, and each time it has a different. Twice. Vayikra Asher Osa Shom. Vayikra Shom. There's a Mercha Sevir. There's a powerful Shom. There's an emphasis. A Mercha Sevir. There's an emphasis on the word Shom. Why is there a Mercha Sevir emphasis to emphasize? Vayiven Shom. He went back to the Mizbeach where the emphasis was on the Shom, not on the Mizbeach where the emphasis was on the Vayiven. Sometimes you build an institution for Kavod, for Vayiven. You should have a name for yourself. Beautiful building with your name on it. And sometimes you build an institution not for the Kavod, because for the real deal. Because it should be a place where people learn Torah. And it's not important what color the paint is and how beautiful the building is. What's important is that there should be a Shom. It should be a place where Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. When Avram, when he came back and he was very wealthy, he came back to the place, the spirit, this was the galus of Avram. He had a choice to go back to two mizbechos. He bedafka went back to the mizbech that he emphasized the Shom. He did not go back to the mizbech where he emphasized the Vayiven.
Was there one to the second one?
What the second one? Explicit. It says explicit. That's what it says, because that's bain a bain basil bain the ha'ai. Explicit.
Also says
asher shamburi shayna, which it's just a repetition. It's a repetition.
Doesn't mean the first one.
No, does not mean the first one. It's clear as day. It means previously, right? Okay, so that's the beginning of Perek Gimel. The beginning of Perek Gimel. Right after this goes, it leads one to the other. Right after pasuk aleph. Yeah.
Why couldn't you have gone to the first mizbeach outside of course of toy?
Because it was Al-Tag, but it wasn't because of a Tzara. Avraham Yolachor was saved from an Eitz Tzara, an Eitz Tzara Mitzrayim, so he identified with the Koyach HaTzvilah. The Koyach HaTzvilah would save them from, same way the Koyach HaTzvilah will save his descendants from Ai, so to the Koyach HaTzvilah would save them from the Tzara of Mitzrayim, of Paro. And I mean, it's true that going to Paro, Mitzrayim was also, Ma'isav, a similar one, was also a remiss for Yuridas Mitzrayim Golos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one interesting thing with the Malcolm of the Abba, I don't think it's Abba right now here, obviously it's probably the Malcolm, but he says, Bashani Yosheba, Oz Yosheba.
Yeah.
That's why he left that place. He didn't want to be with the Canaanim. In other words, it says, Vayelech Lamasa, Minegad Beat Beisel, he went and made the second Mizbeah. That's why the Pope, what's the point of saying, Bakanani Yosheba Oretz? Because that's why he left. In other words, it's telling us the reason he left one place to go to another place.
He couldn't.
Pashup
shot.
So, yeah.
He was occupied. He was under fire. Okay, now I want to talk about Rav Michal's favorite Rashi. Anyone here know Rav Michal's favorite Rashi is? The first Rashi in the Torah. And there, now before we discuss that Rashi and how it connects into the sixth parasha, there's an idea that the Bali Musar and the Bali Halachos, they all discuss in different ways. The theme of the idea is, why do we do mitzvahs? Every mitzvah Chazal says 600,000 reasons, 70 reasons. Every mitzvah has multiple reasons. There's Rav Shimon in the Gemara. It says Rav Shimon Darish Taima Dikra. Every mitzvah has a reason, and according to Rav Shimon, if you know what the reason is, you can even seemingly make exceptions. That in this particular instance, the reason doesn't apply, so maybe we can make an exception to the mitzvah. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't accept that. Halacha l'maaseh, the reason why we do mitzvah is because Hashem told us to do the mitzvah. Don't do a mitzvah because it's good for you. Eat kosher because you have faith in the Torah that it's healthy. Now, it could very well, and we have emunas chachamim, derachecha darchei noyam, v'chol nesiva secha shalom, that it's taka true. Eating kosher food is healthy. And there are probably another 1,000 reasons why it's good to eat kosher food. But the bottom line is, the reason why we do a mitzvah is not because of the good reasons, it's because the Torah told you to do it. Nothing more than that. This is a popular theme. Now let's go to one of the most basic mitzvahs. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why do we have the right to come into Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Midbar, time almost 2,000 years since Briyas Olam, and to remove, to push out the Canaan and the seven nations of Canaan and take over the land? What gives us the right to displace seven nations so that we can live in Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah, tells us that because Hashem told you to do so. Hashem said, it's my world. I'm the Baal HaBos. I created the world. I put the Canaanim there, and I'm telling you to remove them. I commanded you to do so. Don't ask any questions. That's what Rashi alludes to. We'll come back to the Rashi in a few moments. Now, we're going to discuss this. Now, what's interesting is we have a very, very powerful Rashi in this week's parasha, which is overlooked very often by many people who speak about Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael tells us, as Rabbi Miski mentioned, V'yakanani oz baritz, Avraham, he passed through the land, Hashem shenav from Eretz Yisrael, and it tells about it, V'yavar av baritz, ad mekoyim shechem, ad ilon moreh, V'yakanani oz baritz. Canaanim were children of Chom. Canaan was a child of Chom. Canaani oz baritz. Now, how did Canaan get into Eretz Yisrael? Rashi here says, it's in Pasuk Vav, Ho yoholech l'choyvesh es Eretz Yisrael mizaroi shel shame. When Noach came out of the Teva, it was up for the taking. The whole world was up for grabs. Noach gave Eretz Yisrael to shame. Avraham is a descendant of shame. The Canaanim are not descendants of shame. The Canaanim have no right to be living in Eretz Yisrael. The Canaanim are Gazlonim and Ganovim.
Occupiers.
They don't belong there. It's not their land. The world was destroyed at the time of the Mabul. They came out of the Teva. The land of Eretz Yisrael was given to shame. Avram is a blood descendant of Shem. The land rightfully belongs to the descendants of Shem, which is Avram, which is Klal Yisrael. How then did the seven nations of Canaan occupy the land? They conquered it. The land fell in the portion of Shem. When Noah divided the land among his children, it was given to Shem. Shenemar Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayim. In fact, Malki Tzedek was living there, a descendant of Noach. Lefichach Vayomer El Avram Shoshem. By Lefichach Vayomer El Avram Lezarcha Etein Es Oretz Hazos. Now here is the clincher. This is so important. These words Rashi. Osid Ani Li Hachaziro Libonecha. I will return it to your children. It's rightfully yours. 100% legal. 100% legal that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the descendants. Sheheim Mizaroi Shel Shem. Now the problem now is, how then do we reconcile this Rashi in Parashat Lech Lecha, which tells us that the land is legally ours, with the first Rashi in the Torah? The first Rashi in the Torah tells us, Lo hayat sarch ein hamikra el oimer darshuni. Okay, v'shvil. Let me just. Matam posach b'bereishis mishum koyach masav higiliyamo. Lo says lachem nachlas goyim. Hashem started off with bereishis to give them the inheritance of the nations. Sheim yomru umos oilam li Yisrael. Listim atem. You are ganovim. Shekibashtem. Artsois Shivaskam, you conquered the land of the seven nations. Heim Oimrim Lohem, Kol Oret Shela Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hu Bira'ah, He created it. V'nos Nelasha Yosham Yenov, Biritsoinoi Nos Nolohem, Uviritsoinoi Nitlamehem. Hashem took it away from them, V'nos Nolanu. What's going on? A contradiction. Rashi here in the beginning of the Torah seems to indicate that the land really does not belong to us. The land was given to the land of the seven nations of Canaan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us, take it away from them and give it back to us. When Rashi over here in Parashat Lech Lecha tells us that the land really belongs to us because the land belongs to us. It was given to Shem. It was given to Shem. And we are the descendants of Shem. So how do we reconcile these? Yeah,
we're not the only descendants of Shem. They were
original, but not the Canaanim. The Canaanim are not the descendants of Shem, right? Okay.
Otherwise, the claim could be okay. So those who
But the Goyim seemingly refers to Canaan. Okay. So the answer is that's why Rashi over here is telling us. This is the deeper meaning of Rashi. Hachodesh lo hoyot tzarech lahaskel elas haTorah ela mehachodesh hazel lochem shi mitzvah rishonish v'tzav bo Yisrael. The Torah is telling us it's 100% true that the land belongs to Klal Yisrael. 100% true. Yet our attitude has to be, the reason why we do mitzvos is not because it's good for us. It's because it makes logical sense. It's because Hashem told us, this is what you do. We have a munas chacham that everything that we do is 100%, every mitzvah of the Torah is 100% fair. Everything is honest. And everything is for a good reason. And in fact, Rashi tells us in Parashas Lech Lecha, that the land belongs to, the land indeed belongs to Klal Yisrael. We are the direct descendants of Shem. Yet, the Torah is also telling us, the Torah begins with mitzvahs. And the first mitzvah puts us in a dimension, in a makom where there is no beginning. The real beginning of the Torah does not, our attitude has to be, does not take into account everything that happened from the beginning of creation until until HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Therefore, if we, in our minds, enter the scene, with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, at that point in time, who does the land belong to? The land belongs to the Canaanim. And the land belongs to the Canaanim at that point in time. Do we have a right legally to take away the land? Okay, do we have a right to take away the land? You can argue, no, it's not our land. The Torah tells us, no. The Torah tells us, I'm giving you a mitzvah. This is what I want you to do. I want you to conquer this land. But the Torah also went out of its way to reveal to us the history of the world that it does belong to us. So there's this dual nature. The truth is, it's our land. But yet the Torah should have begun with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Torah is telling us is that we really should focus on putting ourselves in a point in time where we don't take into consideration history, so that when we do the mitzvah is not because of any reasons, but simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us what to do, told us to observe the mitzvah for its own sake, not because of any logical reason. Okay, something along these lines. It needs a little more work, this idea, but but those mitzvahs were superseded. They were redone.
Yeah, Rabbi El makes a very interesting historical point there when he says on last week's parsha, Eved Avodim Yeliachov, when he curses Canaan.
Yeah,
he says historically speaking, he wrote this in the early 1500s, that Canaan will always be, in other words, Yeliachov to Shem and Yefes, he will always be subservient to his brothers. That Eretz Canaan will always be an occupied territory, and if you look through history, he says, it was never its own country. There were always, whether it was the Romans or the Assyrian Greeks or the Jews, time from time, it moved on to one country to another, but never to Chum, never to Canaan himself. It will always be throughout history, from then and in the future, it will always be occupied territory, and it seems to be obviously true.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Another short idea. I came across. I saw this idea somewhere. It's a symbol. Okay, this is a we have here this parasha, the contrast between Lot and Avram. Both Lot and Avram started off as poor people without any strangers, foreigners traveling to the land. Avram took with him Lot, and they both became extremely successful. But the Pasuk here makes a very interesting, it's a very powerful Musa Hasan to learn from the difference between Lot and Avram. The contrast, you read the Pasuk carefully, the contrast between Lot and Avram. Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel in this week's parasha begins with the story of Avram. Avraham, he leaves Mitzrayim. He's a very wealthy man. And we have a right to assume that Lot at this point was also, let's make that assumption, was also very wealthy. And we'll see he was. We know for a fact he was very wealthy. And they both leave. They leave Mitzrayim changed people. They come into Mitzrayim as paupers, wanderers, strangers, and they leave Mitzrayim multimillionaires. So how did wealth affect their personalities? How did wealth affect their hashkaf in life? So Perek Yigimel begins. Okay, let's look at Avram. Vayal Avram. Vayal Avram in Mitzrayim. Avram leaves Mitzrayim. Who v'ishtoy v'chol ha'shalo v'lot imo ha'negbo. Lo was with him. The Avram Koved Ma'od, he was a very wealthy man. Ba'mikne, ba'kesef, v'azof. So you would think, wealthy, has new hasagas. Mi sheyesh lo iman, eretz en masayim. You now have a lot of wealth, you have big new hasagas. So he begins to travel. Which car, what kind of car does he drive in? The same jalopy. What airline does he take? he sits the same airline. He goes business. He goes coach economy. Vayelech lemasaf. He comes out of Mitzrayim. He goes on his trip. Minegev yad beisel ad hamokem ashochay shamol lo betchila bein beis lo benai el mokem amizbeach ashoasa sham vayikos sham avam b'shem Hashem. He vayelech lemasaf. Chazal tell us, like nothing changed. He travels to the same places. He goes to the same tent. Chazal tell us, he went to the same hotels on the way back that he went on the way. On the way there, he had credit card. He didn't have money to pay. He had to buy on credit. And now he comes back and he pays with his chayvos and he stays there overnight in the same shvacha lodgings that he had before. Nothing changed. Ashohoya sham oholo batchilo. All of the wealth, all of the money, didn't make a dent on him. It's batchilo. And even when he goes to the Mizbeach, he goes back to the same Mizbeach we mentioned before, Hashem, the Mizbeach, not the fancy Mizbeach of Vayiven, the nondescript Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that does not have a word of Vayiven. Nothing changed. Everything is exactly the same. But then begins the next Aliyah. V'gam l'loit. It was also for Lloyd, Hacholich es Avram. He was also a wealthy man. Hayat soin uvakar ve'oyhalim. But there's a big difference. Lot now is a new man. Lot now v'loy nasa oisam ha'aretz l'sheves yachtav. Ki hayat ruchushem rav v'lo yachlu l'sheves yachtav. V'hi ribin roi mignei l'avram v'ed roi mignei Lot. V'aknani Lot had new hasagis. I'm not the same person I was years ago. Years ago, I was a poor man. I didn't have such big hatsagas. I could live with you. But now that I'm a very rich man, I have to let my animals graze in other people's lands. I have to expand. I have to broaden my portfolio. There are new things. I have new hatsagas. And this is something which Avraham, there was a split in the personality. There was a rib bein roi mikni Avraham bein roi mikni Lot. The deeper split in the two was, why until now could they get along and now they all of a sudden can't get along? The difference is they both become multimillionaires. How did the money affect their personalities? Avraham, it didn't make a dent. The same Avraham he was before is the Avraham he is now. The money is no effect. Lot, the money changed his whole hashkafa. He now became an aggressive, a person who saw Sodom, Kigan Hashem, Ki Eretz Mitzrayim, Kula Mashke, beautiful land, new hasagas. And these new hasagas was the beginning of the downfall of Lot. The Musa Haskell is in every person in their life, there comes a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you bracha. And the bracha, whether it's in parnasa, whether it's in children, whether it's in success, and all, the big test is, how do you deal with success? Will the success, you'll deal with success like Avram? The success, the Maila Avram is, it was like nothing happened. You continue to live your life, you use the bracha you have for good things, but it doesn't change your personality. Vayelech lemasav, the test is, will you be like Avram, who will be vayelech lemasav, minegev yabez, aramokam, mishayu shem ba'olu batchila? Like nothing ever happened? You'll be the same person? Or you're going to be like Lot? V'gam l'lot ha'olech es Avram. And him, v'yar es kikar ha'yardein k'kula mashke gan Hashem k'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's going to change your whole life, and they will just turn for the worse, will turn for the bad. He entered Stum, and Stum was ultimately destroyed. Had to be saved by Avram to come back and save. Okay. I have two more short ideas. First, next idea is we come to the Mulcham of the four kings and the five kings. In the four kings and the five kings, we have the, at the end of the story, the Melech Sidom comes to Avram and says to him, "Tain li hanefesh for a chush kachlach. You can keep all the money, but I want the people. I want all of the servants. I want the captives." So Avram says, "Fine, you could have everything. Not only can you have the people, you can have the money. Im michut v'atzeroch nal, im ikah im ekach mikol hashaloch. I don't want to take from you even a chut and seroch nal." There are many midrashim on these psukim. I want to just focus on one midrash at the moment, and we'll focus on something else. And especially apropos, because now many of you are learning Masechta Yevamos, so you learn about chalitza. And one of the midrashim says is that one of the and the merit for saying the word in mechut, the ad serochnal, a shoe strap, I will not take from you a chut, a cord, or even a shoe strap. Avraham merited that his descendants would be zochet to the mitzvah of chalitza. The mitzvah of chalitza is where the yavama, she removes the straps of the shoe of her yavam and pulls off his shoe. So the obvious question is, my inyan zelz, and so is Bob. What in the world, what is the connection between removing the mitzvah of chalitza and the and this that Avram said mechut v'yat seroch now. So I saw in the Sefer Vayomer Elio by Rev Elio Atya. It's a very simple pshat. What is the connection? Who were the people here in this story? The people in the story were the people of Sodom. Melech Sodom approached Avram and says, "Tain li hanefesh, give me the people." Chazal. There's a conflicting Mamari Chazal. Some of the Mamari Chazal criticize Avraham for indeed returning the Neshamos back to Melech Sodom. We know that when Avraham left, it says that v'esanefesh she'osu b'choron. When Avraham left, he took with him his wife, his children, and all of the Neshamos. Avraham was Isaac in Kiruv. Avraham megayres as anoshim. V'sara megayres as anoshim. They were Isaac in Kiruv. Shabbos project. Last week, from Parashas Noach, all the people they succeeded in bringing over, he took with them into Parashas Lech Lecha. They came back for another Shabbos project, in Parashas Lech Lecha. V'yas ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron. So, Avraham, now when he succeeded in the battle, and he had under his influence all of these neshamos, who gives Avraham the right to return them to the jurisdiction of Melech Sodom? Sodom is not a good place. They're Oisik in terrible Averis in Sodom. Avraham should have kept these people under his influence, and he can be Makar of them, and he can make more Neshamos. Just like we have the Nefesh also B'Charon, he also should have gone further to elevate these Neshamos. So indeed, there are Mamari Chazal which criticize Avraham for returning the Nefashos. He should have given back the money, but he should have kept with him these Nefashos, also these Nefashos. On the other hand, there are other Mamari Chazal that say, no, Avraham made a very deep calculation. He looked at these neshamos, and he saw that nothing good will come from them. In fact, until now, these people were under the influence of Sodom, and we know from the previous pasuk, the Anshei Sodom, that's how this whole war started. How did the whole war start? The whole war started where Lot, he went and he saw the Kikar of Sodom, Kikula Mashke, Kigan Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim. Then the pasuk says, the Anshei Sodom, Roim V'chatoim LaHashem Me'oid. They were extremely wicked people. And they're extremely wicked. And these were the people that Avraham now captured. And Avraham saw these are Rishoyim LaHashem Me'od. There is no hope. So Avraham, he figured, why waste my time on these people when I rather instead devote my koichos to people that have much more potential? So he released these neshamos. He got rid of them. He let them go because he made a cheshbon. Nothing good will come from these neshamos. Exactly, like Abai Moshe. Moshe, before he killed the Mitzri, even Kovach HaBayar Kainish, and then he killed the Mitzri. What is Chalitza? Chalitza, we have a Yavama. A Yavama has the husband, her husband has died, he has not left over children. If the Yavam would come and marry, the brother would come marry, it would be Lohokim Lohokiv Shame. By marrying the Yavama, he would rebuild his brother's house. He would have children with her. The children would be named after the deceased. It would be a Shame, Usheiris, a Yod Vashame. It would be a Teferes for his brother. What happens? Not every person is suitable to do Yibam. Chazal said, has to be done with Shem Shemayim. A Yavama, a sister-in-law, is one of the Chayvei Kresos. It's normally, under normal circumstances, it will be forbidden the Chayvei Kares to marry a sister-in-law. So it has to be done with Shem Shemayim. But there's a neshama. The brother-in-law's neshama is waiting to be, you want to talk in Kabbalistic terms, to be resurrected. It's waiting for a tikkun. It's waiting for someone to rebuild his home and have children, and the children should carry the name of their father. That neshama of the brother is here, it's waiting. But Chazal, the Torah tells us, you have to understand, not every situation is ideal for Yibam. There are times in this world when you have to go for it. There are times you have to go make an assessment, there are talmid and you have to work. And then there are times in life you have to know when to let go. It's not, this is not a time where you chap and chap and chap. Everything has to be done with a calculation. The mitzvah of chalitza and yibum tells us there's a mitzvah of yibum chalitza. According to the Sun Pain, it's 50-50, you have a choice. It's a very complicated matter. When to do chalitza, when to do yibum. It's not so simple. The fact is, there is chalitza. Chalitza means there are times when the Torah tells you, release the neshama. Don't be a superhero. Don't be a hero and save the world and save your brother's bias by marrying his sister-in-law and having children. You might get yourself into a lot more trouble than you can handle. Release the neshama. Let the neshama go to the next world. Don't try to go and rebuild for it a bias here in this world. That's what the essence of chalitza is. Who is the one that innovated that concept? That you have to make cheshbonos along these lines. It was Avraham. Avraham had here at his possession the neshamos. But Avraham made a cheshbon. These neshamos. The anshei sidoim, chatoim v'rishoim l'hashem l'oid. They're extremely evil. We gotta get rid of them. You have to let go. Don't get involved in a situation that's beyond, that's too messy to deal with. He released them. Mida kineged mida. His descendants were also given a mitzvah where they were taught by the Torah. There are times when you have to let go. You have to let go sometimes. Not every time should you grab. Okay, last part. Last, so we have in this medrash. This medrash we have there are multiple midrashim in Chut V'yat Tzorach. Now let's just run through some of the things which Chazal say about in Chut V'yat Tzorach. Now Chut, in the reward for saying Chut, Avraham was blessed with the Chut HaSikra. His descendants one day would have a Mizbeach, and on the Mizbeach there would be a red line separating the top and the bottom. Some Kurbanos you sprinkle the blood L'mala Mi'chut HaSikra, and some Kurbanos you sprinkle L'mata Mi'chut HaSikra. Chatas is L'mala, an Oila is L'mata. Except by bird it's the opposite. A bird Chatas is L'mala, and an Oila bird is L'mata. Chut HaSikra. Another Chut. What a Chut? The Chut Shel Tzitzis. Tzitzis what? Tzitzis Tcheles and his Lavan. Some another medish is the chut of Argamon and Tcheles in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan there was chutim of Argamon and Tcheles that were used in various parts of the cover. Okay, let's go. Chut Tzorach Nal. What's Tzorach Nal? Tzorach is a strap. The strap of Tzilin. The strap of Tzilin. The strap of the shoelace of the Chalutza. Nal, the mitzvah, the Nal, was a mitzvah, Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel, and to wear shoes, and the shoes, Chazal tells, walk, the shoes came from the Tachash. The Tachash was the covering that was used for the surface of the Mishkan. Okay, I've thrown out a couple of Maimari Chazal. What do all of these Maimari Chazal have in common? There's something shocking. There's something amazing about all these Maimari Chazal. It's a shocking concept. They all have in common the theme of color. Every single one of these examples that Chazal give us is related to a very specific color. The Chut HaSikra was what color?
Red.
Red. The strap of tefillin, what color is the wrap of tefillin?
Black.
What's the shoelace? The shoelace of a shoe. It's a Chazal. White, because if it's black, it's mechsi. Only a Talmud Chacham that's right to be misabel in the Churban Yerushalayim is allowed to wear black shoe. It's a Gemara, it's a Tosis. There was a very strong akpada not to wear black shoelaces because that's a sign of avelus. And only if you right to be misabel in Yerushalayim are you allowed to wear black shoes. When you learn Yibam, there's a halacha. The shoelaces on a bedafka may not be black; they have to be white. Okay, what else? We had tzitzis, the chut shel tzitzis. What's the chut shel tzitzis? Tcheles. The Meliyan, L'Rikia, Kis Yaakovot, and this tcheles, this verse Lovan. Now, Na'al chotachash. Na'tachash was the multicolor, things that they use, those their shoes and the measures that was also used to cover. Na'al chotachash alludes to the strap of the shoe, which alludes to the tachash cover of the Mishkan. Everything that it says here in this psukim all come back to one theme, the theme of color. mitzvos that have color. Okay, we live in a society where everything is black and white. You wear a white shirt and you wear a black hat. If you wear anything in between, then you're out of the game. The game is over. No shidduchim, right? You're a different resume is put in a different pile, right? There's a pile of resumes for shidduchim, and if you're not wearing the black hat and the white shirt, then the resume is put in a different. So what's going on? We have over here all of these colors. What's the deeper meaning? Okay. This week is connected to Parashas Noach. What happened at the end of Parashas Noach? What did Hashem do? Made a bris with the world. He made the rainbow. What is the essence of the rainbow color? Why is the rainbow the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bris? By Bereishis Bar Elokim Es Hashem Es Hashem Elokim Yehi Or. Hashem is the ultimate or. Color, what is color? Color represents how much light is absorbed. Black absorbs everything. Black, white absorbs nothing. Everything else, everything is in between. Light, color is a form of a reflection of or. Hashem is the ultimate or. Hashem shows himself, he reveals himself in this world in many ways. Many forms of color, many forms of or. Hashem is or, but there are different types of or. Every color is another manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why is, when it says in Yechezkel, he saw the Kisei HaKavod, and what does he describe the Kisei HaKavod? Kimari HaKeshes. The Kisei HaKavod looks like the Keshes, the rainbow. What does that mean? Because Hashem is the ultimate or, and or breaking light, different forms of light, absorbing light, color. That's what the rainbow is. Refraction of light. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Many manifestations. Infinite number of manifestations of our. We live in a generation today, we have color. It used to be no color. Today they break that new smartphones. Infinite number of colors. It used to be black and white, then color, 16 colors, 8 colors, 16 colors, 32 colors, 64 colors. Now a photographer, now we're up to a world. You know, haloi davar, everything in the physical world parallels the coming of Mashiach, where there's Hashem's or is coming to light. Okay, pun intended. Hashem says, this is the bris. Now here's the point I want to make. When Hashem says, I'm making, the rainbow is going to be the bris. What is Hashem saying is, you know, Hashem said to the world, you know, until now, until the time of Noach, I had expectations from you people, you mortals. I gave you a beautiful world, and I told you to be good. And I have expectations. If you'll do good, I'll give you reward. If you're not going to do good, I'm going to punish you. You were evil. You were terrible people. So I destroyed the world. Hashem then says, you know what? I don't want anything from you. I'm never going to destroy the world. When Hashem says, I'm never going to destroy the world, what is Hashem saying is, I have no expectations from you. In the chut v'yatzeroch nal, that's what Hashem basically told us when he made the rainbow. Making the rainbow is Hashem's way of saying, Hashem says, I have no expectations. I don't want anything from you. Because if I want something from you, I'm going to reciprocate. It goes two ways. You give me, I'll give you back. Hashem says, if I'm going to have expectations from you, you're going to fail, and that's going to require me to destroy the world. So you know what? I have a new attitude now. I have a new attitude. My attitude is, I'm just going to give. I'm going to give, and you, halavai, if you'll give me back, it'll be a bonus for me. But I don't have any expectations, and therefore, there's nothing you can possibly do to me that will provoke me to destroy the world. Hashem basically says, I don't want anything from you. You just live. And I'll be good. I'll do chesed. I'll be still bracha. If you'll do good, you'll also get good, but it'll be a bonus. Hashem said, "Inichut v'yatzroch nal in ekach mikol hashalach." And what is the sign? What's the sign of the new world order? The rainbow. The rainbow. The colors of the rainbow. Avraham now says, he's going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum afal chanan. Avraham says, I don't want anything from you. Avram just didn't insist in the Melech Sodom. Avram was teaching a lesson to the whole world. The whole world was watching. In michut v'yatzeroch nal. I don't want to take from this world anything. My purpose in this world is just to give. Abraham is acting like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have any expectations in this world. I'll live my life with no expectations. I'm not here to take. I'm only here to give. Oh, you want to take. You want to give. You don't want to take. You're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines his midah of giving and not taking with the rainbow. Midah keneged midah, the Shekhinah will rest in you. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the Shekhinah resting in you is, you will be presented with the rainbow. Not the physical rainbow, but a collection of mitzvos, colorful mitzvos, each mitzvah, a whole collection of mitzvos. And the common theme of every mitzvah, red, blue, white, black, tachash, multiple colors. Every mitzvah, you can't deny the fact, that's the common theme of all the mitzvos, colors. What is color, what is the rainbow? The Shekhinah. The brach is the Shekhinah will rest in you. Just like Hashem is the Shekhinah will rest among Klal Yisrael for your attitude of emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu, to live with an attitude of only giving and not taking. Just like Hashem said, I'm going to give the world, I have no expectations from this world, and that translates in the world's not going to be destroyed, and the simon is the rainbow. When you want to emulate Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give, I don't want to take, you'll also have the rainbow. The rainbow of mitzvos. Various colors. Okay, may you have a wonderful Shabbos, Mitzvah Shalom.